overall, a very good road. There's been a few bumps here and there in terms of fear or anxiety, but and you know that can happen in the future as well. But overall, we're very pleased with the growth that both Elaine and I have had through this time. That being said, as I do come back to the pulpit during this season, I thought it'd be best to kind of ease myself back into it a little bit. So we're going to take a short break from the sermon series on what God has done for us and pick that back up at the first of the year. During this time, we're going to focus on the seasons and talk about Thanksgiving today and begin the Advent season next week. But as we celebrate the holiday of being thankful as a nation, as a country within our families, you know, at the same time that we're thankful, we generally gorge ourselves on too much food and go out shopping the next day to get more things that we could be thankful for. You know, it's important to recognize within Christianity, within the Bible, there's a very strong theme of thanksgiving. Understanding what that means for our current contexts and our lives and how we then apply that to our lives. Understanding how that is to be lived out. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I ask that you join me in Psalm 100 as we begin this morning. Psalm 100 says this, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to your truths, to your word. Help us to look into ourselves, to our own walks, and what Thanksgiving means in our lives. Help us to question and to test our attitudes when it comes to Thanksgiving. And Lord, may we give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've ever doubted that Thanksgiving is a theme within the Bible, you really have to look no further than the Psalms, where a form of Thanksgiving is used 192 times. And that Hebrew word can also be translated as praise sometimes. It's used to give thanks in specific situations, to give thanks to acknowledging an attribute or a characteristic of God, and it's often directed towards God as the reason why we are to be thankful. Now, when we look at this psalm here in Psalm 100, it's short and sweet. It's nice and easy to understand. But we see a lot of imperatives, a lot of commands that will direct how we are to be living our lives. So this morning, I want to take a closer look at these commands. First one. We are to rejoice, we are to cheer, we are to shout praises to God, making a joyful noise. Now, I love this verse personally because for someone like me who cannot sing, this is telling me that I still get to sing, whether it's off pitch or off key. I mean, it helps if I have those things, but we are commanded to make a joyful noise. And this praise to God, it is to stem from our joy. You know, it is cognizant of the joy of what God has done for you and who he is. And it's a good start when we think about Thanksgiving in our lives. You know, what is it that is motivating your thankfulness? Is it because your parents taught you to say your please and thank yous? Is it because it's a cultural thing? Or is it coming from within? Then we are to serve God with gladness, with rejoicing, with exaltation. That is the heart of what this serving is to be. It is not out of a sense of a duty or a chore because you have to. So I'm sure that we've all done something or been told to do something, and we had to do it. But this type of serving, it needs to come from within. You have to want it. You know, in a church context, you want to serve not just because you are elected to a ministry, or not because, well, nobody else is doing it, so I guess I have to do it. But rather, it's an attitude, it's a heart of wanting to serve God out of gladness. And then we see that we are to come into his presence, singing. Literally, you come before his face as you are singing. You know, these commands here are to all of the earth, and it sets the tone for the whole psalm with these first three imperatives. And I know that we've touched on this before, but a simple application question is, what is your attitude as you come to worship God on a Sunday morning? You know, we do treat this day as being different than all the other days of the week. We come to church because we have fellowship with one another, because we want to glorify and worship him, because we want to learn. But this question can be expanded to each day of your lives as well. What is your attitude? What is your motivation behind the things in your life? Are you in the presence of God daily? You know, and if so, is this how you are coming before him? Is this how you are serving? Is this how you are making a joyful noise? You know, there's not just one example that you point to in your life where you can check these commands off. This is to be a way of life. This is how you are to approach everyday living. As I look at these commands in my own life, many times I find myself often looking to the next thing rather than resting in his presence or giving praise or serving him with gladness, making that joyful noise. I get distracted by listening to the politics on the radio or watching sports on the weekend or the next administrative duties that I have to do at the church. You know, with your jobs or with different family, things can get in the way. And over the past couple of months, I've had to check my attitude and my posture before the Lord. I needed to readjust different priorities in my life to make sure that God was, it continues to be, first, because only he is worthy of my joyful noises. Probably he's the only one that would want to listen to them as well. But only he is worthy of my service and my song. And I gladly share those things with others, especially as I'm following his guidance and his will in ministry. But I have to remember and stay focused that my audience is one. And I have to stay focused on that, because people are able to be influenced by me as a figure of authority, of power within the church. If I come up here with lofty words, as Paul says, people can be directed towards me rather than Christ. If I serve or if I work jobs in my own power, I could be looking for my own glory, or I could become conceited and desire the praises of men. If I get depressed with different circumstances or situation in the world, those can drown out my praises, my joyful noises, my thankful heart, or worse, make me stay silent. See, I have to remember that people are watching me all the time as a Christian, wondering what I'm going to do in those hard circumstances, what I'm going to say in response to theological challenges of the day, or what will come out of my mouth if I smash my finger with a hammer. Unfortunately, sometimes that is the only judge of character that people will have on God. So it's imperative for all of us to understand that our walks and these commands are important. Our walks are what people will see. It doesn't matter if we have every intellectual response, every theological answer in our head. People will not approach us to hear those answers if they do not feel safe, if they do not feel like they can go to you to hear those answers. So we have to understand and be aware of what our walks look like, what our motivations and our attitudes and our Christian lives look like, because they become a testimony that opens the door to sharing the gospel. You know, we are to live out these commands, which is different than what the world tells us. And we are to live them out because we know that He is Yahweh, that He is God, that He made us, and that we are His, as it says in verse 3. Now, another translation of this last part is that we are not of ourselves. And I like that terminology because it shows that we are not all that there is to be. Okay, we are not gods. We did not make ourselves. And this fights against the popular humanist thinking of today, where we can do whatever we want, we're good enough as humans, and one day we can become gods. See, this puts the emphasis on us rather than God, and it begins to take us down an unthankful road to one of greed, of jealousy, or unfulfillment. We have to recognize that we are His people, that He is our shepherd, and that He leads us to where we are to go. And this is hard for people to understand at times, because we don't like to think that there's somebody over us. We like our levels of autonomy, where we're in control. But when we really think about it, at every stage of our lives, there is somebody that is always over us, somebody that is always in charge, somebody that is higher up. We just like the idea of being in control, but it's definitely not able to be lived out. And I think that this is an attitude in America that we need to be aware of, that we need to take to heart in our own lives, where we're understanding what the culture is telling us, and we then compare that to what the Bible tells us. So as Christians, we are to understand who God is. And as we do that, we are then to enter His gates with thanksgiving. You know, this is another reason why we spent so much time at the first part of this year understanding the names of God and understanding who God is. We didn't cover all the names, so I suggest that you continue to study those in your personal lives and your devotions to understand who God is. And as we tie that into what He has done with our current sermon series, it gives us a better understanding of how we are to enter the gates and why we enter the gates. You know, these gates, they give us a sense of protection, of security, of ownership. And then, like verse 2, we come before Him with singing as we enter these gates. And here we are also entering with thanksgiving. Now, this thanksgiving is like a confession of praise, where we're entering the presence of God, confessing what He has done, and giving praise for who He is. It's a proclamation. It is a declaration publicly for who God is. And all these verbs, they are commands. They are imperatives for us. You know, this proclamation, this declaration publicly of thanksgiving, it's very popular at this time of the year, isn't it? When we go around the table and we say what we're thankful for. But it's hard to live out the rest of the year. It's hard to live out in the day-to-day times. You know, we try to train our children to have manners, to say please, to say thank you when they receive something. But many times it just comes off as a nicety or a way of culture rather than being truly thankful, having a heart of gratitude. It's simply said because it's supposed to be said, not understanding the full meaning why. Now, if you've learned anything from my preaching style, especially over the last 6 weeks, as you've had other preaching styles in front of you, hopefully that you've picked up, I like to challenge you to understand why you believe something. Whether or not you disagree with me is irrelevant. Understanding why you believe it and being able to back that up with Scripture is what is important. So as I challenge you with those things, we need to understand that there's usually a balance on the different teachings in the Bible. a balance which is held perfectly by God, but usually on a pendulum by us. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, and, you know, being away from it for 6 weeks, not being up at the pulpit, I forgot how much I don't like when we talk about my points in Sunday school. But, you know, this pendulum, many times in our lives, I've found that we are either, that pendulum is either too rusty or hardened on one point, and it's just stuck right there and won't move, or it's swinging too freely to be moved by the waves and the wind. Understanding the balance of what the Word tells us, so that with thankfulness and understanding in our lives, we need to understand why we are to be thankful in the first place. You know, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation? Why do you say thank you to people for a gift? Is it to be more than just a cultural thing? You know, to give praise or thanksgiving is a confession that you've received something outside of yourself, that another person has helped you, or that that person has given you something. And then when we apply this thought to God, we understand, we see in verse 5, that the reason that we give thanks is because God is good and that his steadfast love endures forever. Which again was so funny why I read Psalm 136 this morning. We have to understand that God is faithful to the generations, that he deals, this idea deals with God's plan of salvation throughout history for his people. He does not abandon his people. And as we look to the sermon series that we've been doing to add on to this understanding, you know, Psalm 9, verse 1 says this. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High God. And we recall who God is and what he has done, and that brings about thanksgiving in our hearts, or at least it should. You know, sometimes as we reflect on our lives, when we get introspective with these things, we can get caught looking at other people's lives. We can be distracted by the different things. And there begins seeds of jealousy, discontentment, greed, envy. And these thoughts eliminate an attitude of thanks in our hearts. And I had to struggle with this recently. You know, as we first began to hear the diagnosis and the extent to which the cancer had grown, we would go to many different appointments. And as we would wait, with anxiety, with fear, with disbelief, I would partake in my guilty pleasure of people watching. But I would take it a step further. I would see the drivers that were being reckless on the road. I would see people in the hospital that were obese. I would see people that worked in the hospital that were out smoking, that would have all these different factors, reckless behaviors in their life, and I would wonder, how come they don't have anything? I mean, here's my wife, who works out 4 to 5 days a week, eats healthy, being told that there's no cure and there's no reason to why she has cancer. But yet then all these people continue to live on like it's nothing. These types of thoughts of unfairness went through my mind. And selfishly, I thought all those things. And as I'm dwelling on those, there cannot be a thankful attitude in my heart. You know, it took time to recenter on God's word, trust and to believe in what he says, to seek forgiveness for those attitudes, for those thoughts, in order to continue to praise God even in my trial, even in our testing. Now, understanding Job's context, do we only praise God when things are going good? Will we also praise him when things aren't always what we want them to be? You know, when you meet God in these types of trials, you begin to have different perspectives on life. You begin to be more thankful. You have different attitudes, and you appreciate more of the smaller things, which should be done naturally. You know, not in a defeated way, like, well, I'm going to die soon, so I guess I should appreciate the flowers. But instead, treating each day as the blessing that it is, because the Bible tells us that we are not promised tomorrow. It's good to know, but it's hard to actually live out. We should thank the Lord for the breath, each individual breath that He has given us, and be thankful enough to return it back to Him with praise. But as I said, it's not easy to do. I just gave a recent example of how I failed at this in my own life. But as I've grown in my understanding over the years in faith, I have seen a shortness of time where I am in ruts like that. You know, there's definitely areas in my life where there has been slow victories in terms of the sanctification process, where I would hold on to the flesh or I would not give up control because I like to control things. But as I've learned to let go of that control and give those areas over to God in my life, I find that, you know, as I'm quick to repent in those areas and confess the truth much sooner than that, that growth is apparent. You know, something where I could stay in that defeated state for months, whereas here it was just a couple of weeks. That's growth, and that's important. Now, there's going to be slip-ups, obviously, because we're not perfected yet. But that's not to be treated as an excuse or as a license to have those thoughts. We still need to recognize the areas that we are failing and focus on that growth. As I said, with the whole cancer thing, I would say that with the shock that brought about fear or anxiety or disbelief, it lasted for about 2, maybe 3 weeks. But since then, we've had our confidence firmly planted in the Lord each day. We have found that as you have the word that's written on your heart, especially in the areas that you're struggling with, the Lord is quick to call those things back to your mind. The Spirit recalls that to your mind in your moments of struggle. Understanding that the attacks that happen from the enemy almost always happen between your ears. He attacks your mind. So we have to be good to put on the full armor of God, to take every thought captive, because that battle for your mind is intense. While at the same time, not conforming to the ways of the world, but rather allowing the Spirit to renew us, transforming us. And you know, if being thankful, because that is our topic today, if being thankful is something that you struggle with, then you search those types of scriptures. You memorize those types of scriptures to help you in that area. You know, you focus on the Psalms. Or passages like Colossians 3, if you would turn there with me. I've got a couple of different passages that we're going to read this morning. Colossians 3, I'm going to begin in verse 12. It says, "Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So, you know, as you study passages like this, you're able to reflect on your own life and apply these teachings pretty easily. I mean, as I look at it, it tells me how I am to live and with what qualities, because Christ did these for me. And because he did these for me, I am to be thankful. This thanks is to stem from my heart, to where it's not just an automated response, but rather true feelings of gratitude and thankfulness. And I think many of us understand what Christ did for us on the cross, but it has to move from this intellectual knowledge to a way of life, where we're understanding and we're seeing the commands that are in Scripture and we're obeying, where we're seeing the truths in Scripture and we adhere to what they say because of the change that has occurred within us. Well, we're not just giving it lip service and playing church. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the next book. And again, I'm going to read beginning in verse 12. It says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." And again, it's very similar to Colossians, but you know, I love this passage. And not just because in verse 12 and 13 it tells you that you have to esteem me. You know, I love this passage because it gives us practical things for us to do as Christians. To be at peace with one another, to admonish the idle, to encourage and help those that are weaker in the faith, to be patient with everyone. You know, these things are done with the right motivations and the right hearts. Not as a way to lord our control or power or righteousness over anybody else, because those things come from Christ. It's Christ's righteousness that we're wearing. And then in verse 16, 17, and 18, I love these commands, and I recall them a lot in my life. We are to rejoice always. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, there's no wiggle room. It's not a pray only on Sundays or be thankful only on Wednesdays. It's one of those any day ending in a Y, you are to do these things. Every circumstance and every moment, this is to be our attitudes, our hearts, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we're always seeking the will of God, right? Well, here in chapter 4 of Thessalonians, two specific places it says, this is the will of God. So if you ever wanted to know, there it is. As I mentioned, these commands, they're not easy. We're going to fail at times. And a big reason for that is because the enemy is going to come and try to deceive us, try to rob our joy. He's going to sow these seeds of laziness, of bitterness, of malice, of hatred, of ingratitude. He's going to try to rob that joy and that victory that we have in Christ. But 1 Corinthians 15, 56 says that the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gives the victory is not a past completed action. It is continuous. It's a continuous victory for the present today and for our future as well. It is ongoing. So our victory is in Christ Jesus, and the will of God is in Christ Jesus. Our thankfulness is to be found in him. in who he is and what he has done. If we're able to be patient, if we're focused on God in our lives, then when those difficult circumstances or those trials come, we're able to be thankful, even in our trials, even in our tests. It's not easy, especially if we're focused on what the world says and their way of doing things. But it's easier if we prepare ahead of time, if we focus on what the Word says, if we're studying for those moments. That's why we encourage you to be in the Word each day, to be before the presence of God each day, keeping your minds focused on Him. Because remembering, the battle is in your minds. So we are to pray to receive this thankful heart and attitude, especially during this season, as we put a little focus on that. But again, understanding that thankfulness is to stem from our hearts each and every day, not just because of one holiday. And, you know, from my family to all of you, to our family and friends in Ohio, we cannot say thank you enough for all that you've already done to support us, to come alongside of us through this trial. We have definitely grown closer to the Lord through this, and we're encouraged by what we see God doing through everything. We've been able to share the gospel with people through this event and know that God is being glorified. And for that, we give thanks. It's difficult for all of us at times to receive help in whatever forms. And we've definitely felt overwhelmed with the outpouring of support from everybody. And I'm sure, I know for a fact, that my face has shown the weight, I'll put it that way, of accepting everything from people. You know, the weight of, where are we going to put this? How are we going to eat this? Instead of a face of thankfulness. I'm working on it, but just know, truly, we are so thankful for all of you and what you guys have done for us and what you continue to do. And we just ask that you continue in unwavering faith as we step forward. Step forward with us to glorify God with singing praises, by making those joyful noises, by serving Him as we are able, and coming into His presence, into His gates, giving thanksgiving, knowing that He is God. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for who you are and what you have done. Lord, it is a recurring statement in these sermon series that we've been going over. But Lord, the truth does not change. Lord, you are God. No matter what the world says or what we might want to believe in those days. And Lord, we come to you for strength, for patience, for comfort, for thankfulness. Lord, there are definitely times in our lives where we are ungrateful, where we question, where we give in to the enemy to be jealous, to have greed, to not understand. Lord, I pray that those times that we come, we can capture those thoughts and we can take them back to you. Lord, help us to stay focused on you. Help us to look to your word for strength and for hope, especially in our moments of weakness. I pray that this body of believers could continue to come alongside of those that are hurting, alongside of those that are confused, are being attacked, and that we can come closer together as a body that are united in hope and in love because of what you have done and who you are. Lord, everything stems from you. Help us to understand that as we look into our own lives and the thanksgiving that we give. Help it to not be a cultural thing or just manners. But Lord, cultivate in us true hearts of thanksgiving. And may you be glorified in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.